Blog Talk Radio.
Life will never be the same. Coming up next, right here on The Parker J. Cole Show. Stay tuned. Welcome to this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. Today's show is pretty intense today because this show is dedicated to a few people I know who have experienced this life-shattering event, and that is when they have lost a child. In particular, this show is for Bob Tipp. He's a good friend of mine that I work with in my 9-to-5 job, and he recently lost his daughter. This show is also dedicated to Travis Perry, who recently lost his son last year. It's also dedicated to Thomas Alba, who lost his son about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago. It's also dedicated to my grandmother, who lost her son. And there are so many other people I can name who have lost a child. And I got to thinking about this so hard, especially when it happened to Bob, who's a good friend of mine, because when he told me, it affected me in such a deep way. I know I don't have a child of my own, but I know what it is to love hard. And I have been told that surviving the loss of a child is extremely difficult because, as we all say, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. And so I wanted to do a show where we will first acknowledge the fact that your life will never be the same. Your life has been shattered. But in spite of it being shattered, you can survive the loss of a child. And Gary Rowe, who is a returning guest to our show, he is very familiar with grief. It's many, many, many facades, whether it's the loss of a parent, whether it's the loss of a spouse, or whether it's the loss of a child. He has resources for you and for those of you who are grieving to know that, first of all, your grief is okay. There's nothing wrong with your grief. And there are processes and steps that you may have to take. And that grief may take years to get over. And guess what? That's okay too. So even though your life is shattered, if you're listening to the sound of our voices, please know that you can survive with the help of God, who you may be extremely upset with, and with a supportive system that will help you. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to begin our show with Gary Rowe. He's going to tell you a little bit about himself, as well as his background into grief, and then we're going to go on from there. You can call in at 929-477-1965, and then press 1 to ask any questions or comments. You can also hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show, with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Jesus said, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give." Listen to our internet radio station at touchofgodradio.org, where you will find out your true identity in Christ. You can use the light that is within you to replace the darkness in this world. Go into all the world today with touchofgodradio.org.
Hi, I'm Sherry with the Lemonade Stand. As the weather warms, your risk of exposure to mosquito and tick-borne illnesses increases. Please keep these tips in mind when outdoors. Wear light-colored clothing, apply repellent, avoid high grassy areas, check yourself after returning, and remove any attached ticks promptly, only with a tick removal device or tweezers, avoiding any home remedies. This has been a community service announcement courtesy of the Lemonade Stand.
Hi, and welcome back to our show. We're talking about something that's very sensitive today. We're talking about shattered, surviving the loss of a child. It's not just the title of a book, but it's also a state of life that some of us have gone through because we have suffered the loss of a child. And with me today to help you go through this is my good friend Gary Rowe. Gary Rowe is well acquainted with grief and its many facades. He has a lot of experience working with hundreds of people who have suffered grief. And Gary, I want to thank you again for joining us for the show as we tackle this very sensitive and intense topic. Thank you for being with us today.
No, Parker, thank you for having me, and thank you for addressing this. As you say, there are far more than we realize who have lost a child along the way.
One of the things about this is that we all come to the conclusion that it is your life will never be the same. And that is something I think we should start off with, because some people think they can pick up the pieces, or, and I'm not talking about the people who have lost a child, I thought their support system may say, well, eventually you'll get over it. And that's a very cold way of looking at it. But I want to address this, because your life will never be the same when you suffer the loss of anyone that's close to you, but particularly when you suffer the loss of a child. What is so unique about the loss of a child that is so devastating to the family unit?
Oh, goodness. You know, it's really because we view this as something that's backwards. You know, the phrase is often used, Parker, that, you know, it's very unnatural for a parent to have to bury their children or a child. And it is backwards.
Yes.
We all, as parents, expect to go first. And as parents, you know, we grow up and one of our main jobs is protection. And when a child dies, I mean, we immediately think somehow, oh, my goodness, what did I do? What could I have done? How did I not protect them? Or I wasn't able to protect them from this. And so typically in the loss of a child, the guilt level is just very, very high for the bereaved parent. And the other thing is that, you know, you grieve everything along the way, too, in terms of a future. If they were young, you know, you don't get to see them grow up. You don't get to see them graduate from high school. You don't get to see them get married. And if they're a little older, there's still those milestones out there that you don't get to experience with them, and we just naturally assume we will. And so it really is a shattering loss. It's a shattering blow to our personal worlds as we know it.
That is the accurate description for how this must feel for those who have lost a child. I know for me, because my recent experience is with Bob, and I told Bob before I contacted you that I was going to dedicate this show to him, and so I'll be using him because, first of all, Bob's a sweetie, and he always helps me in my 9-to-5, but I'm just feeling so much pain with him and for him. And so I'm speaking to all those who I dedicate this show to, Travis, Tom, my granny, and others who have experienced the loss of a child, but I'll be just using Bob because this just happened probably a month ago. And one thing he told me, we were talking, one of the things he said, I feel like I'm in a daze. He said, I feel like I'm in a daze. And let's talk about that because others may be feeling the exact same way. So let's go ahead and expand on what are some of the feelings that someone who has lost a child will be feeling.
You know, I like to describe it like getting hit by a bus. If we are walking across the street and we get hit by a bus, number one, if we survive the impact, none of us are going to jump up and walk away. we're going to be down for the count for a while, probably unconscious. Someone has to call 911, and we get transported to the ER. Now, if we think about this in grief terms, when we get hit by the grief bus, the loss of a child, we're stunned, we're dazed, we're immobile, we're paralyzed. Maybe we can't feel anything for a while, and then when our kind of like physical shock, when we do feel it, oh, look out, because it's just so painful. And we get transported from there to, let's say, the grief ER. And our condition, because the hit was so hard and so devastating, they immediately send us up to the grief ICU. Now, in the grief ICU, we're not aware of very much. usually. We're completely dependent on the people around us to kind of come around us and take care of us during this time, because we're pretty non-functional. And, you know, it's kind of funny. If you get physically hit by a bus, nobody questions that. But if you get if you get hit by the loss or death of a child, you know, I have found, sadly enough, most people will be compassionate and will be sympathetic and will allow you to grieve for about a month. And then they will expect you to begin returning back to what they call normal, which is who you were before, which is impossible because you are no longer who you were before. Your entire world is different. And so all of this takes time. Following the hospital analogy here, you know, from there you eventually heal enough to be transported to a regular room. And from a regular room in the grief hospital, then eventually you get to rehab and so on and so forth. But when you're in the ICU, that's hard to imagine. It's just it's just hard to imagine being whole and fully functional again. So in terms of what a person feels, typical grief emotions are as follows. Sadness and anger are the two biggies. Those are, they trump all the others because we feel those two things more than any others, and we typically feel them more intensely than any of the others. But there's a whole lot of other things, like confusion, frustration, depression, anxiety, guilt, fear, because when we lose a child, we think, this is unthinkable. What else could happen? And we begin looking for the other shoe to drop or for the next hit to come. It really is just a devastating loss. And when all of those things hit us all at once, of course, we're kind of immobile. It's like we go through the motions of life. Yes, we like, for example, we show up to work, things like that. But we know we're not really there. Or we're certainly not all there. And if we think about getting hit by the grief bus, I think it might help us. But it would help if the rest of the world knew we were hit by a bus so that they could grant us, you know, the time and the patience to really recover from this. It's hard. And that's a gross understatement to say it's hard.
I think that's the thing that really comes to mind, is the fact that you want the world to acknowledge this grief, because your life has been irreparably changed. It's been, I won't say irreparably damaged, but it's been irreparably changed, you know? And because of that, you want the world to stop while you stop, because everything stopped for you, but the world doesn't do that. And unfortunately, it happens that way. And some people, like you said, they give it about a month. They said about a month, and then you should return back to what you were. But we just said at the beginning of our broadcast that you can't return back to that person you were. That person you were had a child, and that child is now gone. How can you be the same person when someone's gone, when there's a gaping hole in your heart? And I think we need to talk to those who are grieving right now, who may have that anger at the world, that why haven't you acknowledged me? Even the support family, that's why I want us to also talk to support too, Gary, because some people who are being supportive can be cold toward someone who's grieving, because they want you to, feel better so they can feel better about not being as concerned about it as you are. Let's be really real about the topic, because we want to really tackle this straight on. So give us your thoughts about that.
First of all, you're absolutely right. Everything you have said could have easily come out of my mouth. it's the first thing to recognize, I think, is to be realistic. Sad to say, the world will not understand. They will not understand. And knowing that up front can release you, if you're willing to accept it, from the expectation that others will surround you and support you during this time. There will be supportive people out there, but the majority of people simply don't want to go there. They want to be about their own lives. Everything in our world seems to project the image of we want to see happy, smiling faces and for life to be smooth. But mm-hmm. the reality is life is never smooth, and we are certainly not happy right now. And smiling seems not only backwards, but irreverent and not honoring to our child. And so I think that's the first thing to know, that we are going to be misunderstood here. The world mm-hmm. will not understand. The second thing to know is this is what makes grief really hard and really special at the same time. Every person being created in the image of God, every person absolutely unique in all of human history, even if we're a twin, we're still different. There are mm-hmm. uniquenesses there. So if we imagine this, one unique individual in all of human history, and they have a child who is another unique individual in all of human history, and that child and father or child and daughter have a unique relationship between two unique people in all of human history. They have a completely unique relationship. There has never been another relationship exactly like it in human history. Now, that is God ordained, God planned, God directed, God constructed. The backside of that is this makes our loss so incredibly special because our child was so incredibly special. But at the same time, it means that no one on the planet can say, I know how you feel, because they don't. Even if they have had a heavy loss, even if they have lost a child themselves, if they've lost a child themselves, they can do more than sympathize. They can empathize with you. But your feelings are your own, because your loss is your own. And the only comfort from this, forgive me for laughing there, it wasn't really a laugh, the only comfort is that I do believe that God knows exactly how we feel, not just an intellectual knowledge, but if he is really God, then he can feel what we feel. And so there is one who knows exactly what each bereaved parent feels. Oh my goodness, there will be supportive people out there, but don't expect the world in general to be supportive. And I could say more on that, but I'll stop and take a breath and see if you want to direct it anywhere from there.
Well, you brought up some really good points, Gary, because especially those who I mentioned, like Granny, you know, she finds her hope in the fact that she will see her son one day. And a lot of people think, oh, that's just something to put a Band-Aid on. A lot of people say that. And I know with my friend Bob, he's been dealing with those kind of questions of faith and of afterlife and things of that nature. Another young lady I know, her name's Carol, and she's been dealing with that too. And so these questions about life, what grief does is really bring those into the forefront. Maybe there are people out there who never thought about it. They could care less about heaven or hell or anything like that. But these questions, I think grief gives us an opportunity to really evaluate what we believe about a lot of things. And I think that happens a lot with people who are grieving, but particularly when it comes to surviving the loss of a child, because there's so much anger at God. No matter if you didn't believe in him or anything, by the time this happens, chances are you're talking about God. You're not going to say, oh, this just – no. You're talking about God. Maybe you're very angry at him. Maybe you're like, if there was a God, this wouldn't happen. These questions that come to mind, why are they so important even while we're dealing with our grief about the loss of a child?
That is a great question, because our hearts immediately begin to be assaulted with all of these questions that if we were perfectly honest, we would say, gosh, I don't know that there are any real answers to these questions. And even if there was an answer to this question, it wouldn't satisfy my heart because I'm hurting and my child is no longer with me. So, To say this, if people who are normally, you know, just view themselves as really spiritually solid, and now they view themselves as spiritually shaky, take a deep breath. That's okay. And if people are questioning things they've never questioned before, I love the way you said it. Grief naturally brings up these questions. If we, I'll put it this way, the loss of a child, any significant loss, affects our whole person. In other words, I'll just run through it really quickly. It affects us emotionally. Mm-hmm. That's obvious. We've got that one down. We know that. But it also affects us mentally. We're not as mentally sharp or mentally foggy. We don't perform as well mentally. Maybe we forget stuff and importance or appointments and where we put our keys, or we forget where we put our keys more than we did before. It affects us physically. We're just fatigued and exhausted, and all kinds of physical symptoms that we don't normally have can pop up, or symptoms we have sometimes get really bad and exacerbated. But the one thing that people forget is it also affects us spiritually, because our whole system gets hit. And so everything about what we've believed and how we have thought gets jostled. It gets challenged. It's almost like if all our listeners could picture for a minute a spider web. Now, I don't like spiders very much, but anyway.
Me either.
Let's just imagine a huge spider web, okay? And this spider web is our life. And each strand of the spider web is a relationship. And just like a spider web, there are really thick, solid, foundational strands to the web. And then there's kind of peripheral, thinner, seemingly less important strands. Well, a relationship with a child is going to be a thick, foundational strand of our web. And now, imagine somebody coming with a pair of scissors and snipping one of those foundational strands. Number one, the entire web is affected immediately. The entire web at least shakes. If it's the right strand in the right place, the entire web can just seem to, you know, collapse on itself. It's still there. The web is still there. All those other strands are still there. But, oh, my goodness, it is nothing like it was before. Nothing like it was. And that's what happens to us when we experience a significant loss, especially the loss of a child. The other thing I would say very quickly is when we lose a loved one, especially a child, and we get angry, anger always looks for a target. It says, who's responsible for this? Even if we agree, well, no one's really responsible, our minds can't let go of that. And eventually we say, well, the buck stops with God. The buck has to stop with God. And so he is a very convenient target for our anger. And what I would say is, don't feel guilty about being angry with God. Instead, unload on God. He's a big boy. He can handle he can handle all of your emotions. Besides, he knows already what you're feeling, if he's really God. And I would say this even to a person who would tell me, well, I'm an atheist. And I said, that's just fine. Just try this. Just try writing a letter to God. Or just try setting up a chair and imagining God sitting there and unload on him and see what happens. Because God is concerned about our hearts. And he is feeling, I believe he is feeling this loss with us. So if we're angry at him, just as if we were angry at someone else, if we can express that, ultimately, it's healing for our own hearts.
And for those of you listening to the sound of our voices, we're talking to Gary Rowe. He is an author as well as a counselor, where has worked in hospice and just so many different areas where grief abounds. And what he has done is taken this platform of grief and has given you resources for you to use. Today we're talking about Shattered, Surviving the Loss of a Child. And he did this at my request because I'm thinking about so many who have recently lost their children. And I wanted to really speak to you all today. But there are other resources available. Have you lost a spouse? Have you lost a parent?
Gary has those resources for you. So visit his website at GaryRoe.com. That's GaryRoe.com. Visit his website and see what resources can help you during this time of grief. And guess what? Gary is also available for many things you need. If you need to talk to him, he's very much happy to talk to you. He'll tell you about that a little bit later on in our broadcast. But those of you listening in, if you want to weigh in, you can by weighing in by calling in at 929-477-1965 and then press that 1 to be live on air. We're going to go ahead and take another quick break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for a new reader to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com. or order a print issue on magcloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
Hi, is your book club in need of some fresh and exciting questions to ask club members and authors at your next book club meeting? Literizations, the book conversation game, is 70 thought-provoking questions to really get into an in-depth discussion about the books you and your club members are reading. These questions really get into the characters, the storyline, and into the author's head. These questions may just give you and your book club members a whole new way to get into a new conversation, a literization. Literizations is also a great set of tools for bloggers, interviewers, and authors to use a discussion question. Are you ready to get lit? Please visit our website at litversations.com, LITVERSATION.com. And please like our Facebook page at Simply Said Reading Accessories. Thank you.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. We are talking about Shattered, Surviving the Loss of a Child. And this show is dedicated to several people that I know, in particular Bob Pipp, who I work with, and he recently lost his daughter. It's also dedicated to Travis Perry, Thomas Alba. It's dedicated to my granny, and it's dedicated to many of you who have lost a child. And I wanted to speak to you particularly because, like Gary said, your life will never be the same when you lose a child. And that is something that you may need help with. How do you survive the loss of a child? Gary's book, Shattered, Surviving the Loss of a Child, gives you a heartfelt, in-depth view of what it is like to lose a child. One thing that's particular is that it doesn't matter how you lost your child. It doesn't matter how old they were when it happened. Losing a child is devastating. And Gary wants to give you resources to help you mitigate that, if we could possibly use that word, Gary. I don't know if mitigate is the word to use, but to help you just go through that process. And so if you want to get more information about Gary, simply go to his website, GaryRoe.com. Again, GaryRoe.com, R-O-E is the way you spell his last name. We did get a comment from R.D. Palmer. R.D. says, other than prayer, what are the best things to do to help a grieving parent? And that's R.D. Palmer. R.D., thank you so much for your question. Gary?
Thank you, R.D., for that question. I assume we're talking about that you're a friend or you know this bereaved parent. Mm-hmm. I would say that the number one thing is don't worry about what to say. Just don't say anything. That's kind of blunt, but, you know, don't worry about to say. Don't worry about what to say. Don't worry about the phraseology, et cetera. Prayer is the number one thing, R.D., you've hit on that. The second thing is just being available to people or being present with them. What I mean by that is – you can communicate volumes with a text message or an email or a phone call, voicemail even, that just says, you know what, I just wanted to let you know I'm thinking about you today. And I'm thinking about you is a powerful phrase. It's hard to take that one negatively, whereas any other phrase that we use when someone is hurting so badly and shattered and devastated can feel kind of hollow. But if you take the time to reach out and just say, I'm thinking about you, that's huge. Many times we say things like, whatever you need, I'm there for you. That's dangerous because that can be interpreted that we're something close to God in the sense that we should just magically know what they need and provide that. And, of course, we don't know that. It's much better to just simply say, I'm thinking about you. If we say, is there anything I can do for you? Most people don't know what you can do for them when they're hurting that badly. And so if you simply serve them in a way that's consistent with your relationship with them, whatever that is. For example, let's say you love to cook. Make them a meal and take it over there, or make him or her a meal and take it over there. Or let's say that you are really good at being a handyman, and you just show up and say, is there anything in your house or apartment that I can fix for you? Not asking them what they need, but really just serving them in whatever way is consistent with your relationship with them. So those are the two things I would say. Being present, being available, I'm thinking about you. And then secondly, just serve them in a way that's consistent with who you are and who they are.
And I hope that helps you, Ardeen. For those of you listening in, make sure if you want to call in, you can call in at 929-477-1965 and press 1 to be live on air. We did get a comment from Winter from our Facebook group. Winter, thank you so much for joining in the conversation. Winter said, after my youngest brother died, my mother and I were talking about it one day. I said, you don't expect to outlive your own children. She told me later that it helped her accept his death. And then she made some more comments, but I won't read that part of the comment there. It's more personal stuff there. But one thing that I want you to speak to is that we need to talk about the parent here, because how do you cope with it? For example, I know with Tom Alba, when his son passed away, he did a lot of writing. He's a writer, and he did a lot of writing. And I was asking him off and on, I asked him several times, you know, how's he doing? Because for me, I was so touched that I was able to be sympathetic to him at a time where he really needed it. And so I've always kept in contact with him. I don't promise to do anything, just like you said. And that's because you've been on this show several times, Gary. And I take everything you said, and it's been just a relief to not say the wrong thing. Or if I say the wrong thing, I say, Lord, don't let them remember that I said that or something like that, you know. But just to be a sounding board, sometimes that helps, and to, you know, to talk about their grieving loved one, you know. So parents who are dealing with this, what can they do to get rid of those feelings? Or not get rid of them, but to process those
right.
feelings that they may be having.
Right. Process is a great word. Let's talk about that for a minute, that this whole thing, life itself, relationships, parenting, and grief is a process. It is not a task to be performed. It is not a checklist to be checked off. We would love it if it was, because then we could say, okay, grief is these 7 things right here. I'll do number 1, and then I'll go through the number 7, and then I'll be done. But we're talking about our hearts here. And so this is a process of recovery, healing, and growth. I'm going back to the grief hospital analogy here. You know, at first, it's all about just recovering from what happened. Then you begin to heal. Then you kind of go into rehab, and you begin to get a little stronger, and you begin to grow. But if you get hit by a bus, you may walk with a limp the rest of your life. That's a real possibility. In the loss of a child, there is a place that is opened up in your heart that is the exact size of your child, and no one and nothing will fill that hole. And so you are looking at doing life with a hole in your heart. And that is just difficult. So processing the emotions and the things that are going on is very, very, very important. So how do you do that? Well, there are a number of ways. Writing is one way. Writing letters, writing in a journal, just writing whatever you can when you can about what's going on inside of you. That's the way I would put it. What's happening inside of you? Another person might put it, you know, what am I feeling right now? But I think it's just opening up your heart and beginning to express that. You can do it in writing. You can do it out loud, verbally, preferably if you're alone or if you're with someone who is really understanding and is a real safe person for you and won't correct you and won't judge you and will just let you talk, then that's a great, great option. There is something about speaking out loud and writing that slows down our minds and hearts. Our hearts and minds move much, much faster than the rest of us. And so they tend to spin, and we get very, very confused. But if we write or we speak it, it slows it down enough for us to actually be able to get some of our grief out. Another way to do this is some people, I call it write it out, speak it out, or art it out, A-R-T, mm-hmm. art. You know, draw it. Sculpt it. If you're into woodworking, or even if you're into building things is also a possibility. And in all of this, a really important thing, believe it or not, is exercise. It is huge. Why do I say that? Emotions pack a real wallop. And I know we're really exhausted in grief, but just simple exercise can help get some of that angst and anger and anxiety and even sadness out of us. And one of the pluses, to be honest, the way God designed us, I mean, exercise, he kind of designed us to do that. And when we exercise, we experience these things called endorphins, which are kind of our natural uppers, so to speak, of our own system that help us balance out anxiety and depression and all the challenges that the world sends us. God-given, you know, he gave us that. So exercise, I think, is a huge thing. The other thing is, when an animal is significantly wounded, the animal tends to withdraw. When we are significantly wounded, we tend to withdraw. We're hurting, and especially if, you know, we've tried to share with other people and the response hasn't been so good, that doesn't exactly encourage us to continue to share. It doesn't exactly encourage us to continue to be open about our grief. So our grief tends to become more and more private. We tend to withdraw, and then some people tend to isolate themselves. Just keep in mind as you're listening to me today that isolation is the number one enemy of the grieving heart. We need more time alone, perhaps, and we need to take our hearts seriously and get that time alone, but we need to make sure that we are connected with other people at the same time. Now, I'm running on at the mouth here, but one of the other things that a bereaved parent, one of the best ways to process this, one of the most healthy things you can do is to discover someone else who has lost a child. They tend to be, not everyone who has lost a child is a safe person. They might try to fix you too and give you platitudes, etc. But usually someone who has experienced this significant, shattering, devastating loss, they typically will listen. They'll enter your world with you. They will ask about your child. They will give you opportunities to share. And when you look into their eyes, there's something about that, knowing they too have experienced this. They too have lost a child. That all of a sudden, even though our grief is our own and is very lonely, we know that, well, I'm not really alone here. This is my solo road. But at the same time, this road is populated with a lot of other people who have lost children.
That's significant what you said about isolation being the number one enemy for the grieving parent, and any, I think for anyone who's grieving, because that isolation allows certain thoughts and bad things to come into an already tense situation. And because of that, finding a support group is imperative. I remember I was talking to Bob about a week and a half ago. I was talking to him, and he said, I know I need to get some help. That's what he said. I said, yes, Bob, if you can, please, you know, when you're ready. I did tell him when he was ready. I said, you know, get some help, because he said, I feel like I'm in a daze. I mean, he said that. I feel like I'm in the days. And I called him. He thought I was calling him about work. And I was calling him just to check up on him. That's what I did. You know, he knows I'll do that. Just check up on him, see how he's doing. And he'll talk and express his thoughts to me. And I just told him, I said, I'm here to talk. If you want to talk or just let out, scream, I said, I don't care. I'm here. And it's interesting because our relationship should just be client and vendor, and it's not. It's friends. And I think that's important. So that's why I like that you said isolation is the number one enemy, because there are people out there who care. You know what? You should speak to that, Gary, because there may be people who are going through grief who tend to withdraw into themselves because they think no one really cares, because, like we said earlier in the broadcast, the world keeps going. The world is not they could care less about my pain, so I'm just going to hobble it all in and keep it to myself. Speak to that, because I think there are more people out there who care than you know. Go ahead and speak to that.
Yes, I totally agree. There are people out there who really, really care. Sometimes we forget that, especially if, you know, if we look around and we expect automatically that those in our immediate circle, which would be our friends and family and coworkers, that they would be the most supportive people in this. Well, it's more complicated for them than it is for someone who doesn't know us very well, because, you see, they're invested in our lives, and they know us a certain way. And it's very hard for many of them to see someone they love and care about suffering. That's hard for any of us. It's hard to watch it if they're physically suffering. It's hard to watch it if they're emotionally suffering. And so it's a temptation just to want the other person to feel better somehow, and to try to help the person feel better somehow, even though there is no fixing this, and there is no feeling better about this, and there is no helping someone feel better about this. So there are people most likely outside our immediate circle, although we might have some in our immediate circle, outside our immediate circle who really know significant loss in their life, and they've experienced significant grief. I call them safe people. What I mean by a safe person is they don't judge you. They're not critical of anything that you say or do. They're not here to fix you, and they don't give you advice you haven't asked for. They have this unique ability to enter your world with you, even if it's only for 10 seconds, to enter your world with you and accept you just as you are, with all of your stuff, at any given moment. And they have no agenda for your life. They don't try to pull you out of what you're feeling or pull you out of your grief world and into their world. Instead, they come into your world with you and just exist with you there. So the question is, where do you find people like that? Number one, be a safe person yourself. I know that's a bit challenging, but I have discovered that safe people recognize each other immediately. It's uncanny how this happens. I can't explain it. But one safe person kind of intuitively knows when another person is safe. So if you pursue being a person who is not judgmental, not critical, accepts people where they are, doesn't give advice when it's not asked for, don't try to fix people, but just enter other people's world and let it be about them without having to make it about you. As you do that, safe people will come out of the woodwork. You'll just trip over them right and left. That's one thing. The second thing is, you mentioned support groups. Now, not everyone in a support group is a safe person, but there are a lot of people, safe people, in support groups. So I would always recommend to someone, at least check out the support groups in your area. Now, how do you do that? Check with local hospice organizations. They all have grief programs. They all have support groups of some kind. Check out local churches for a program called Grief Share, which is a Bible-based program, so be aware of that as you're calling, but it's for any loss that has occurred in your life. And then there's two specific organizations you can check with that are specifically for those who have lost children. One is called the Compassionate Friends. So if you just Google Compassionate Friends or go to compassionatefriends.org, you can actually plug in, I believe, your zip code, and it will show you what the closest support group is for you or to you at your present location. Another possibility is the Bereaved Parents USA, bereavedparentsusa.org, I believe. Those two organizations specialize in helping bereaved parents.
I'm so glad you mentioned those organizations because it gives people who are listening to us an avenue to get help. And I think the grieving parent, or the grieving person for that matter, like I said, it doesn't have to be the loss of a child, but you can lose your someone who's close to you, like a parent,
yes,
someone who's dear to you, a friend. You know, grief affects us in so many different ways. But I'm glad that there are resources available to you. One thing I want you to speak about, too, is with the book Shattered, Surviving the Loss of a Child, it's a very intimate look into parents and what they feel like during the process. And one of the things that shocked me as I was reading some of the book was the fact that how raw a lot of the information is. And I think that is essential to why the book has gotten so much success, because you're not trying to sugarcoat it. You're taking statements from people who have experienced the loss of a child, and they're being just as honest about it as well. That honesty about grief, how is that a liberator for the grieving parent?
It's a liberator because I think it communicates several things to the grieving parent and for the grieving parent. One is, okay, I'm not crazy here. This really is a shattering loss. And number two, reading some of the stories of other bereaved parents, you begin to realize not only am I not alone in this, not only are there a whole lot of other people who have experienced this loss, but what I'm feeling and what I'm thinking and what I'm experiencing is actually natural and common. In fact, to not experience some of these devastating emotions and thoughts that I'm experiencing, to not experience that would really be bad. It would mean you didn't have a heart. It would mean that this loss really wasn't that bad and really wasn't that significant for you, when in reality it is traumatic with a capital T. Let's just capitalize the whole traumatic word. I mean, it really is devastating. And so I think knowing that there have to be places, even if it's just in your own journal, but if it can be with another person, that's bonus. There have to be places where bereaved parents can, so to speak, let it all hang out, that they can really express where they are, even though, you know, the words may lodge in your throat and you can't get them out for a while, and all you do is speed walk around punching the air or cry or scream. All of those ways are ways of getting this out. And perhaps that's something to mention really quickly is, you know, there are plenty of ways other than talking or writing or drawing to help get the grief out. There is, of course, crying. There is screaming. Some people call it screaming therapy. I agree with that in the sense that there is nothing quite as satisfying as letting out emotions in a scream. And I have done this many times in my life. It's almost always I go into a closet and shut the door, or I'm in my car somewhere in a lonely parking lot. But there is something about getting it out. It's almost like the grief builds up within us and the pressure builds. And sooner or later, we're either going to explode, we're going to implode, or we have to find ways to kind of press a lever and release some of that pressure by expressing our grief as it comes, hopefully. But this is hard. It's just hard. And none of us is supposed to be alone in this. We need good companions for this journey.
One of the things you mentioned, too, in Shattered, that I actually thought was kind of, it made me smile, not because it was funny, but just like, that's a really good idea, was when you said get a cheap pair of dishes, you know, dishes. Just get a cheap one because you don't want to break the china, you know, but get a cheap pair and just break it one by one. And as I was reading that, I said, that makes a lot of sense, because then you're breaking something and it's just that release. You don't have to care that, oh, it's the best china we have. No, I can break this, and that's just a release. And the other things you mentioned were a punching bag, going for a walk, screaming, talking, support. I mean, there's so many things that that are available to us to let us know that, first of all, we don't have to hold it all in, that we can release it.
Mm-hmm.
One thing you spoke about in the last few moments you have left is that Christ, that the Lord Jesus truly understands our grief, and God the Father understands our grief because he experienced that himself. And that is the mystery that some people just don't understand. They get angry at God, and God said, I know exactly what you're feeling.
Yes.
And I think that is the promise that we have for those of us who are believers, and that he knows exactly what we're feeling. He felt grief. One of the differences between the gods of a lot of other faiths is that they don't really have understanding of what we feel, because they're human like us and they try to get away from their grief just like we do. But God says, like you said earlier, he's a big boy. He can handle our anger. He can handle us raging at him. And then he says, come unto me, all you are laden and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's something a lot of us, we can't do that ourselves. That's why you caution us to say, I'll be whatever you need. You can't be everything I need.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord can. Jesus can. And I want to end our show with a prayer. In a few minutes, we're going to end our show with a prayer. But I also want you to speak to those of us who may be asking these very tough questions of faith, of religion, of everything, because I want to give you someone who understands, and that's Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He truly understands what we're going through. So go ahead and speak to that for us today, Gary.
You know, Jesus Christ, when I think of him on the cross, but also before the cross, and all that he experienced, let's say in a period of 12 to 18 hours, he experienced in that time period, and of course before then in his earthly life, experienced every negative thing that you and I could experience. In just that 18 hours, he is falsely accused, he is falsely tried, he is falsely convicted, he is beaten, he is, let's say, physically abused, he is tortured, he is left and abandoned by those who have followed him the most closely. He is truly, except for God the Father, alone in the sense of the word during that period of time on the cross. And forgive me for saying this, you know, before he is nailed to the cross, he is stripped and he is hung up in basically what would have been his underwear at the time. So there's even sexual abuse involved in this. And then he hangs there for 6 hours suffering. And all the emotional suffering that would have gone there with that, the physical suffering that would have gone with that, the mental suffering that would have gone with all of that, knowing that he is enduring all of this, not because of anything that he has done, but because of everything that everyone else has done. And it is stunning to me. So he knows. He knows all about. There is no one more acquainted with grief and suffering and loss and even death than Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And he went through death for us, and then on the third day conquered death to prove to us beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is not all there is. And so the loss of my child, huge, but this is not all there is. There is a better day coming. There is a better day coming. And that, for me personally, and I say it to other people, is, you know, if you just focus on Christ and what he endured and what he conquered, he knows. He gets it. He's with you in this. He just doesn't intellectually understand it. He's not just physically present with you in this. He feels it with you. He knows. He's experiencing it with you, and there is no better companion, period. He's it.
For those of you who are listening to our voices, this was my conversation with Gary Rowe. But if you want to get more in-depth, why don't you consider picking up his book today, Shattered, Surviving the Loss of a Child. It has been awarded, I believe. It has been a finalist because there's nothing quite like grief, and there's nothing like losing your child. But get this, you can survive the loss of a child. And Shattered has so many intimate stories of people who have gone through the same thing you've gone through. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter when your child, when it happened. It doesn't matter how long ago it happened. Your life will never be the same when you lose a child. And so Shattered opens up the veil of this particularly intense grief and gives you intimate knowledge of what it means to lose a child, but it gives you hope that you can survive it. And get this, the thing about Shatter is that you don't read it in one sitting then forget about it. You may have to pick it up several times. You may have to pick it up once every month, every 6 months, every year. But Shattered will give you the resource you need to survive the loss of a child because, first of all, it's written by Gary, who is well acquainted with grief, if I can use that, Gary, without being blasphemous there.
I understand.
But it, you know what I mean. But he's well acquainted with it, you know, and he has so many experiences working with people who have been grieving. But it also has shared stories of others who've gone through what you've gone through. It's available on Amazon.com. Prayerfully consider getting this. If you're still angry, if you're still upset, guess what? It is okay to be upset. Guess what? Your life has changed, and it's changed forever. And guess what? There are others who know exactly what you're going through. They may not know it quite like you, but they've been there too. And Shattered, Surviving the Loss of a Child is your key to opening that grief with others. You know, Gary, I want you to pray for us today because there are so many listening to the sound of our voices who have experienced this devastating loss. And again, to those who I dedicate the show to, I know there are more. I'm sorry if I forgot your name. It's not on purpose. But I definitely want you to pray, including your prayer if you can, those who have dedicated the show to, particularly Bob Pipp, Travis Perry, Granny, Tom Alba, and I also want to mention Carrie Spring, who lost her child as well. So many have lost their children. But we want to pray healing for them. We want to pray hope for them. And we want to pray for them that they just hold on to God's unchanging hand. So go ahead. I'm going to mute myself now, Gary, so you can pray, and I'll be back when you finish.
Okay. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you would specifically touch the hearts of all the bereaved parents out there who are listening to this and all the ones who aren't listening to this, Lord. Would you please surround them, let them feel your arms around them. As their father, let them know that you know what it means to watch a child die. You know, because you watched your son, Jesus Christ, give his life for us. And would you please let them know that you not only understand, but that you feel what they're going through. We do pray for hope, and you ultimately are our hope. We pray for healing, and you ultimately are our healing as well. And we ask, Lord, for comfort and for courage and faith for the days ahead as it feels like we live life slogging through waist-deep mud in grief. But let us know that you are with us, and somehow, because you are with us, that we will get through this time and we will find ways to continue to love our child and to look forward to seeing them again. So, Lord, heal us, we pray. And I pray especially for Tom and for Tom and for Travis and for Grandma and for there's one other, Lord. Would you please be especially with them in terms of healing and comfort and hope? Help us, Lord. We need your help every day. We need you. Thank you for yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Gary. I appreciate you coming onto the show, that you heeded my request, because when I heard about, particularly Bob, when I heard about that, I was just so devastated with him, and I wanted to make sure that I, you know, can help in some small way. Maybe it's just by this show, and when he gets ready to listen to the show, that the words you say and the words we put out there will help him, and not just him, but so many others. So, Gary, thank you for heeding my request to come onto the show, and I appreciate it so much, and I cannot wait to have you back and have you back real soon. So thank you so much, Gary.
Thank you, Parker. I really enjoy talking with you, and thank you for addressing this. Thank you for being you.
And for those of you listening, we were talking to Gary Rowe. He is an author as well as he works in hospice. He's been a chaplain, I believe, but he has been surrounded with grief a huge part of his life since he was a child up until now. And if you listen to this podcast, you've heard some of those stories. So just simply go to pjcmedia.net to hear some of his stories, because he has been where you have been in so many different places. But this particular story has shattered. It was a call from so many people that Gary knew. They say, you have to write this story. And so Gary heeded to that call, not story, but heeded to this resource. He heeded to that request, and he wrote this resource for you. When you have lost a child, your life will never be the same. Your life is shattered. But you know what? You can survive the loss of a child. It's going to take time. It's going to take prayer. It's going to take a whole host of things. And I hope Shattered, Surviving the Loss of a Child, is a resource that you'll pick up today on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold, and begin to get some of the healing that you need. If you want to know more about Gary, simply go to his website, GaryRowe.com. That's GaryRowe, R-O-E.com. If you need to talk, Gary is there to talk with you as well. Thank you all so much for listening to this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day, and God bless.